This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Kia ora, Sam. Pihana koe. Pihana.
Kia ora.
Kei te pai.
Aye.
Ah, awesome. We've got a Māori Language Week special.
We do. Isn't it great?
Yeah, we couldn't decide on one artist, so
We laboured long and hard about this.
Yeah.
We're like going through all the ones and we're like, oh, who should we do? But it was like too difficult, so we had to like pick a bunch that we thought were like, yes.
Yeah. And it seems like the indigenous people of Aotearoa have used song as a medium of passing down oral histories and traditions. So why not, you know, start there, I guess, like talk about a little bit of history.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Because it basically goes way back to the 19th century, doesn't it?
Mm.
And even before, obviously, pre-colonial times, that song and performance have been an essential part of Māori culture and
and then
just
after,
coming together and stuff.
Then after the 19th century, quite a lot of traditions and oral histories were wiped out, and there was a growing void, and many iwi nations lost connection with their whakapapa over the next century. So if you fast forward to the 20th century, a time of change, the Māori Renaissance, the perception of Māori went from being that of a dying culture to being politically, culturally and artistically ascendant. And so the roots of the Renaissance lie in the developments during the interwar period and the Māori Battalion, whose performance in World War II won them many battle honours and decorations, with more individual bravery decorations than any other New Zealand battalion.
Mm.
Yeah, and the Renaissance happened across a number of spheres, including the revival of Te Reo Māori with the founding of the first Kōhanga Reo in 1982, the passing of the Māori Language Act in 1987, the land-focused Māori protest movement with Bastion Point occupation, the Springbok Tour, which led to international Indigenous peoples connections, and the landmark Te Māori Art Exhibition, in which Māori exhibited Māori art internationally for the first time.
It's a great history, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And then basically what we saw was from the 1950s to the 1980s, there was a significant development of Māori visibility and the use of te reo within popular music. So what happened was in the 1950s, we started to see a move into more sort of Western styles of music. And this began with Māori show bands.
Ah, yes.
And so you had people like Howard Morrison, of course, and the Howard Morrison Quartet. They were quite popular in New Zealand and Australia in the 50s and 60s, and they brought in sort of Western influences, but also comedy and cabaret into their kind of touring act. Billy T. James was also involved in a show band with Prince Tuiteka as well. And they sang occasionally in English, but they also sang Māori waiata as well, and also bilingual tunes as well. So
cool.
I thought we should play one of their tracks as a kind of start. This track we're going to play is called Here Puti Puti Pai.
It's a good flower.
It's a good flower,
yeah.
And it's a good tune too. So this is the Howard Morrison Quartet.
Oh.
Aroa koe to, no moroa kuari.
Kia ora. Wait a second. Are you online? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Cool. You're on air right now. Can
going
you just
out,
say
right.
what you told me?
My aunt, who is now deceased, was Dormia Robson, who was a singer with the Maori Volcanics.
Oh, right.
And she was of that generation of Prince Tuiteka, a young Howard Morrison, and they were what we now call a Maori cultural entertainment group who entertained the troops in Vietnam, toured Hawaii, the Philippines, and they were showmen.
Yeah.
But they were very, very aware of the strength of doing the Maori language overseas, even then.
Well, I'm so glad that you called up, and thank you very much, man. Have a nice day, and thanks for your contribution.
Be good.
Yeah, you too.
See you. Bye.
Bye. Sorry, Sam.
That was a nice call, wasn't it?
I didn't turn your mic on. I got so excited about the phone call. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, he was awesome. Going on to the next track.
So yeah. So by the 19, we're going to move forward to the 1970s now.
Yeah.
And this was when Maori music really began to kind of take off, and particularly in their embracing of Western styles of music. And one of the earliest and best proponents of this was the one, the only, Prince Tuiteka.
Woo!
What a legend he was. He started out in show bands, like I was saying, with Billy T. James. He was in the Maori Volcanics.
Yes,
he was.
Yeah, that's why I put him on, because I was like, oh, this is so relevant.
So he toured with them for like 6 years before becoming a solo artist in 1972, and he'd keep performing here and overseas as well, around the Pacific, Australia, right up till his death in 1985.
Mm.
And his music really embraced kind of things like soul and country. And he had this massive voice and this charismatic stage presence that made him very popular all around the country. Prince Tuiteka sang his version of the iwi anthem Hoki Mai I Tamama for his 1976 record, The Māori Album, which was an album that was all in te reo, which was probably his most famous and well-known work.
It's a party album, definitely.
It's definitely a party album.
Yeah. Lots of people cover those songs as well on the guitar as well.
Yes,
in
they
his
do.
Style. Yeah.
Can you explain to me the Tamama I Tamama exactly?
So the 1946 original of Hoki Mai I Tamama was called Tomo Mai I Tamama, and it was composed and arranged by Henare Waitoa the night before it was first performed. So Apiranga Ngata had requested a new song to welcome Peter Awatere and C Company of the Māori Battalion, who were returning home to the East Coast after nearly 6 years away at war. It was taught to Ngāti Puta Anga, of Kapahaka, only 2 hours before they went to on stage at Ruatoria. And the Happy Aotearoa version, Hoki Mai I Tamama, is the one that's been popularized today.
And we're going to play that now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hoki mai e tamama ki roto, ringa ringa e tuwhera tunei, kei te kapa kapa mai te haki. Tia manai, hoki mai, hoki mai, ki te wakainga, e tutuki te tumanako, kei te kapa kapa mai, i te haki, i te haki. Ingarangi runga tia manae, hoki mai e tamama ki roto, ringa ringa e tuwhera atu nei, kei te kapa kapa mai i te haki. Ingarangi runga tia manae.
ki te kapa kapa mai I te haki, te haki E ngā rangi runga tia mana e
Monday, right, everybody. This is Anniversary Albums. We're doing a special Māori Week
the
edition.
Prince of the North.
Yeah, and we're getting mad pumped up now.
Yep.
I'm just going to cue in this song, but if you want to talk about the next one. We did just get a text saying, best believe you better drop some mother effing over Dalvanius, yo. Collision. Also, if you know what I mean, So, yeah, I'm glad to see that you guys are getting pumped up about this as well. Cool to get some callers too. Keep the text coming in. 5395. Kia ora.
Kia ora. So, we're going to play some Dalvanius for you because he is a prominent figure, obviously, in regaining Māori language through education. So, basically, there was a woman, Te Kumerua, was it Ngoi Ngoi? Pewhairangi?
Yes.
Noi Pewhairangi. And she was a prominent teacher and advocate for Māori language and culture and the composer of many songs. She spearheaded the Māori Renaissance in the late 70s and early 80s. And she famously collaborated with Dalvanius and the Patea Māori Club to produce the number one single, obviously, in 1984 with Poie. It's the only New Zealand song to chart over three decades. And it's also considered the anthem of New Zealand's hip-hop generation as well. The style was like their take on Kapa Haka with a group of about 40 people. And instead of the traditional a cappella approach with the harmonious voices, they're accompanied by modern instruments like drums, synths, electric bass and guitar, etc. And the arrangement was conducted by Dalvanius, and together they had international success taking their music to the world stage.
World famous, yo.
Yeah. And the whole Poie concept was born in 1982 after linguist Ngoi Pewhairangi asked musician Maui Dalvanius Prime how he would teach the younger generation to be proud of being Māori and Kiwi together. And he told her he could do it by giving them their language and culture through the medium they were comfortable with. So, what are you going to play for us?
So, the Waiata I'm going to play is about Ngoi Pewhairangi. Unfortunately, she passed away in 1985, the year following the success of Poie, and this Waiata is a tribute to someone who left behind a legacy and inspired future generations. It even features some gospel vocals from Annie Kramer at the end. Here's Ngoi Pewhairangi. Oh, sorry. Here is the Patea Māori Club with the 1986 track, Ngoi Ngoi. It kind of makes me cry each time.
Oh.
Yeah. This is like funny intro as well.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah. KTU, Radio New York City. Anyway, come on down enjoy. To Times Square.
Tonight, live at Irving Plaza, New Zealand's Group of the Year, Dalvanius and Patea Māori in concert with the Violent Femmes. And here's their latest hit single. Thank you.
For those of you who have done kapa haka, you would know what it feels like to be in a group of like 40 people and all be singing like together, and it's just a very powerful feeling. And every single time I hear that song, I cry a little. I love it.
Yeah, it's so good. It's just, yeah, such a rousing song.
It is a rousing song. But coming up next, we've got something completely different. We've got Arija.
You do, yeah. Yes. Course, Murray Kamak was their manager, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, of course, by the 1980s, Māori music was in a pretty good place. Te Reo was taking form in various popular genres instead of being placed solely in the show band format. So you had reggae bands like Herbs, Aotearoa, Dreadbeat and Blood. You had folk music made by like singer-songwriter types like Hirini Mulban, who made staple songs for early childhood education, and obviously Upper Hutt Posse bringing it in the rap game as well. And yeah, on the cusp of this incredible decade of Māori music, Arija formed in 1979, led by husband and wife Ryan and Betty and Monga, and they brought a lot more kind of R&B, disco and dance influences into the mix. For the time, it was a very contemporary sound, and they were actually labelled New Zealand's first ever R&B act, incidentally, and they released their debut album in 1987, and it kind of blended what they called polyfunk, which was like a blending of Polynesian sounds, such as the ukulele and the log drums, etc., with more traditional kind of American funk, reggae and R&B styles. So we're going to play for you one of their later tracks, which is a cover, actually, of a song by Ngoi Pewhairangi.
Oh, yeah, so Ngoi Pewhairangi wrote the song for Prince Tuatika when he was courting... Sorry, I forgot her name. When he was courting Missy, who lived up Ruatoria way, and that's how they kind of met. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to sing his overwhelming love for her. So it's like a song specifically made for him to woo the love of his life, basically.
Mm, how romantic.
I know. Yeah. You get a lot of romance with Māori music, actually, like very, very poetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I can see why Arija got on the buzz, because they're all about the love.
All
about the love.
Damn straight.
All right, enjoy.
Akumihi Ako hae re
Kia ora koutou mā, nau mai ki te irirangi pōho. Aroha mai, I need to check my hua. I keep on making mistakes. I think Tiki Tane just like texted in and was like, please proofread. And then, but I mean, it was, yeah, I don't know. Hi. Hi. Kia ora, man. Anyway.
Wasn't that so smooth?
I just was reading it. I'm like, what does this mean? Like, oh no, I did mistake that. Anyway, we're going to cut to some ads and then we're going to conclude with the future or the present, I guess.
And something very, very different from everything else we played today. Just warning you now.
We'll be back soon.
Northern Bass is back, bringing the low end you need to the lush beach paradise of Mungify, December 29th to the 31st. Joining the likes of Salmonella Dub featuring Tiki Tane, Stormzy and Shapeshifter, their powerful second announced features, Princess Nokia, Razor Beezer, Pendulum, The Gas Lamp Killer, The Upbeats, Charlie Turner and Crafty Cuts, and many more. For the full lineup, info, vibes and tickets, go to northernbass.co.nz.
Join us for Late at Auckland Museum, Allied Values. In the age of Brexit and Trump, are we still a country prepared to stand up for our values? With our election around the corner, is it time to defriend our allies? Join moderator Leonie Hayden for straight-up, no-filter opinions from Jane Kelsey, Nikki Haga, Mikey Sherman and former Prime Minister Jim Bolger. Late at the Museum, Allied Values, on this Wednesday. Tickets are on sale now at aucklandmuseum.com. Book now.
The Tuning Fork in association with 95BFM present Big Thief and Spiral Stairs, live at the Tuning Fork, Sunday, December 3rd.
Evelyn's kiss was oxygen. I leaned over.
Two headliners are better than one. That's why Brooklyn indie rock darlings Big Thief and Scott Canberg of Pavement's new project Spiral Stairs are getting together to bring you one doubly good night of sound. Big Thief and Spiral Stairs, live at the Tuning Fork, December 3rd. Tickets from Ticketmaster.
Want the truth, but can't handle it? Why don't you listen to the f***ing news? Want to post rants without all those annoying comments? Start a diary! Want biased, baseless, bourgeois babble? Read a blog! Want the news, but not the weather?
The Wire. Saying it without spraying it. An institution in current affairs and analysis. Weekdays on 95BFM. Wiring together the crooked teeth of media with bracing news, reviews and interviews. And keeping you up to date on what's happening here in Huntley and in other places in the world as well. The Wire. Weekdays, midday till 1pm, only on BFM.
It's music. BFM, the original originator. Broadcast to the world and podcast to your device on 95BFM.com.
Tēnā koutou katoa, nau mai ki te irirangi pōho.
Morena.
Morena. Ko Geneva taku wingua? Ko Sam taku hoa?
Ai, ai. Ko te tatu.
Kia ora. Anyway, we are about to conclude our special Māori Language Week special anniversary
and
albums.
Very special it has been. It's been a party up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're gonna move into the 21st century now with something
21st century.
Completely different to what we've played.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to play an ad break just so we didn't ruin the vibe.
Yep, yep. These guys are really, really cool. They're a band called Alien Weaponry. They're a new generation of young artists who've grown up within a Māori education system. We have bands emerging that have a sharp focus on te reo, creating original content across every genre. And this includes thrash metal. And when you think about it, at first you think thrash metal and te reo, it's like, ooh, I wonder what this is going to sound like. But amazingly enough, it is like the perfect marriage. It's quite amazing how well the two go together. So they're from Waipu. And they're a three-piece band made up of two brothers, Lewis and Henry De Jong, and Ethan Trenberth. And they pretty much explore New Zealand history in their music, particularly the 1800s colonial context, highlighting specific events such as the Battle of Gate Pa and the Waikato Wars and that kind of thing. And they've already made quite massive waves, I should say, even getting lots of international recognition in the metal community. UK metal magazine Hammer and named them as one of New Zealand's top 10 hard rock and metal bands, which is a big achievement because they're only teenagers. And when you listen to them, as I was saying, it is quite amazing how well Te Reo goes with metal. And I'm surprised that this hasn't kind of been done earlier, because the phonetic syllables hit so amazingly well with every beat. And it's like just this rage, and it's just...
Well, when I saw them the other week, they were playing Going Global. They're like, they're pretty much an outfit that play a stadium every single time. We're in Waimea Bar, we're in a small confined space surrounded by, like, you know, like kind of considerate industry people. And they're like, you guys, you guys are awesome! Yeah. And like actually just like bringing the noise.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And all these people are like kind of vibing. Okay. He's like, I want to see like mosh pit and stuff.
Polite claps.
Yeah, yeah. And then like it was pretty much like, because someone told me that it was like haka and metal together. Mm-hmm. And it is exactly that. It's like that raw energy being accompanied by that thundering backing of metal thrashing out. It's incredible. They're amazing. If you ever get the chance to see them, go for it.
I saw them on Waitangi Day this year in Aotea Square, and it was bloody amazing. It was just like echoing all around the square.
I was just like smiling and nodding and being like,
everyone's like the tourists like smiling and nodding, and what's going on here? And they're like, Auckland, put your hands in the air. It's like so we're going to finish with their second single, Raupatu, which is about land confiscations in the 1800s, and particularly the 1863 legislation that served as a catalyst for the New Zealand Wars, particularly in the Waikato and Bay of Plenty areas. So,
Also, I just got a text in about Whirimako Black. I might play some next. I'm going to be here until 12. So just so
Geneva's
you know,
going to keep the...
fear not.
Keep the tunes, the Te Reo tunes
rolling.
We're
keeping the vibes going, all right. Thank you very much, Sam, for coming in.
Oh, it's been so cool.
And can't wait to see what you come up with next week. This is really cool.
All right, see you. Ka kite.
Ka kite. Oh, yeah.
Happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.